find themselves now just sitting, waiting, wanting. Joining us now to talk about that and also about the year to date and what's to come with the University of New Orleans Athletics is our friend, the athletic director of the Privateers, Tim Duncan. And Tim, listen, we really appreciate the time. I sincerely hope you and your family are well in these very, very unusual times.
Ken, thank you, man, for having me. I appreciate it, man. We appreciate your voice in this marketplace and allowing me to come on. And you're right, this is these are strange times for us, for all of us.
So you came on board and you got around, you met as many people as you possibly could. You did a little bit of research on what's transpired and what can happen. And here we are almost through the school year, which was rudely interrupted. But just talk about your journey to this point and how much progress you've been able to make based upon what you tried to accomplish in this first year.
Yeah, it was funny. On Facebook, it popped up the other day, 1 year ago on Tuesday, was my press conference. So it's interesting that, you know, this time is happening now. That happened just before the start of my first year. I actually started work on June 1st, but April 29th, 2019, I believe, was my press conference. So it's pretty interesting. It could have been 20, yeah. But yeah, it's pretty interesting, man, that, that, you know, in this year, I thought we made some great progress. We got a chance to implement, you know, some things to enhance the student athlete experience. We got them a new weight room. We, started having more programming to benefit them from student athlete development. Our sports seasons were pretty successful. Men's basketball was devastated by injuries, but all the other sports, volleyball went back to the postseason for the first time. Women's basketball had the most wins they'd ever had in Southland Conference play. We had the conference cross-country winner in women and a men's qualifier, and baseball was off to the best start in a number of years, and beach volleyball was off to its best start ever. So, I mean, and even men's golf, not even, but men's golf had a wonderful start with the win in the fall, and we had the academic student athlete of the year in tennis. So, I mean, we were humming on so many levels. And for that to be halted abruptly was somewhat disappointing. But, you know, we definitely understand. And one thing about athletics, you think about controlling what you can control. And then the rest, you just try to, you know, concentrate on making yourself better. So that's what we're doing right now.
Tim Duncan with us from the University of New Orleans, 260-1061, if you'd like to join us. So a year down the road, do you feel good about where you are? Do you feel like you're ahead of schedule in terms of what you envision could happen here, and how long is it going to take you to get to where you really want to get, Tim?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. I mean, we're ahead of schedule in some places. I would say overall we're right on schedule. I think, again, with the injuries of men's basketball, that program is so important to us that, you know, men's and women's basketball and baseball are our revenue sports. Those are the only ones that we charge tickets for. So when we were devastated with, you know, three season-ending injuries and then several other injuries that took guys out of lineup multiple times, I think it kind of derailed some of the notoriety that our teams and our university would have gotten. But overall, man, I'm really happy with, you know, the types of coaches that we have, who are so invested in our student athletes and their future, not just in the fields of play, but academically and in the community as well. We've had multiple teams of our teams that have placed very highly within our conference and the country in community service. That's something that was important to us. I challenged our coaches to do better than we've done in community service. And by January, they had doubled the amount of community service we had done for the entire 18-19 year. So there were a lot of ways that we're, you know, much further ahead. The one thing that I'm really proud of is back in February, we started our strategic plan process, and we're continuing that now. We're just doing it virtually. And we'll release that late summer, early fall, and that has been a guide. That's been a guide for us and will serve as a guide for us for the next 5 years. So I'm really pleased with the progress. It's an endeavor that we've interviewed over 250 people to kind of contribute to this, and now we're just going through the results and finalizing what we want to do. But that will have us lined up on the schedule for the next 5 years. So that's the most important thing that I think that we've done this year so far.
Branding is always interesting and important to any endeavor or athletic team, and you've chosen clearly to go with the University of New Orleans, to stress the name of the city, and all of your social media refers to NOLA's team. So you're really being micro in that regard in terms of really specifying that this is New Orleans. This is the University of New Orleans. Your alumni, 80-some-odd percent, last I checked, make their home in South Louisiana, in the area. You truly are the New Orleans University, as it were, and I guess that has a lot to do with the branding that you've chosen.
Yeah, it absolutely does, man. Having played, as you know, I played at Memphis, and it represented the name of the city as well as the university, and I see the parallels. I saw the parallels right off, which is one of the reasons why I was interested in coming here with the University of New Orleans and our city that we love so much. So, yeah, I definitely want to embrace that and make sure that everyone knows that we are the only public institution, and we have more alums here than probably any other institution, and we want to make sure that people know that and are proud of it. So, we're embracing NOLA's team. That's who we are. That's aspirational, but it's also our present as well. So we're excited, man. We're really happy to be to wear that New Orleans across our chest for all of our student athletes.
You mentioned volleyball and the success there. Of course, Keyshawn is a good friend of mine for a long time and did games of hers when she was there and worked with her, and she's a terrific person, and I'm not surprised that she's having success now. Mark had had three really good years in a row before the injuries really devastated them this year. And Blake was off to a really good start, as you alluded to.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a win over Tulane in the bank already. And
that's right.
Tulane was having a great season, by the way.
Right, they were.
So this was, again, I'd have to say overall an encouraging year. Just bad luck in basketball on the men's side.
Yeah.
He thought could win the thing, and just from the get-go, were behind the eight ball with injuries.
Yeah, and Coach Sless is, you know, he was disappointed, and he apologized to me and said that, you know, this has never happened in 20 years of him being a coach. And I said, well, sorry, Coach, it happens. You know, as long as we don't have it for another 20 years, then I'll take that. So we'll see what happens. It's been interesting watching and working with our coaches as they recruit virtually. They've had many Zoom conversations. They brought me on to talk to parents. They had virtual tours that they've taken student athletes through. They brought me in to have conversations and speak to them and see their face. So we really replicated what happens on the on-campus experience virtually. And of course, it's not the same, but it's shown our coaches creativity and allowed them to still put our best foot forward with our university.
One of the big challenges has always been student involvement and student support and getting them to the games. And I know you've taken and made great efforts and taken great measures to try to accomplish that. It's not an easy nut to crack, but the potential is there. Talk about that and those efforts and how that's going.
Yeah, we had a great start. Our first game was homecoming, so all the stars were aligned. We had the largest student crowd we had in years. And then we did not have another home game for men's basketball until that was November the 12th, I believe, 13th, somewhere around there. We didn't have another home basketball game for men's basketball till late December. So I think that kind of derailed the momentum. We had, I think, five or six home games when student athletes were out. We had home games the rest of the semester, but they're out. So we had a game during Thanksgiving break, during the Christmas break. I think we had four games between December 12th and January the 13th when they were out. So by the time they got back to another home game, it was mid-January. We'd have struggled through due to injury, and a lot of that momentum we started had dropped off. So this year, we can't reveal. We're still working on the schedule, but our goal is to have multiple games while our student population is here. So once we kick off our season with homecoming, we'll have, you know, other games right behind it that, you know, will draw interest, not just from our students, but from the local fan population as well.
Yeah, from the standpoint of sports, baseball's easy because you have so many in-state programs and Blake can schedule games without any issue at all and always have some marquee games, whether it's Tulane or the occasion when LSU will come and so forth, or even Louisiana Lafayette and people of that nature. Basketball, it's always been a trick bag because you've got the dilemma of, okay, do we want home games? If we do, we're probably going to get far lesser opponents, which has been the case with in recent years, frankly. Or, you know, can we shoot the moon and try to make a deal and get somebody to come here for, you know, 1-for-2 or 1-for-3 deal, which is not easy to do, and thus you end up playing a lot of road games, getting a few guarantees, getting some quote-unquote power points in the process. It's a very delicate and difficult balance for the schools that we commonly refer to as mid-majors, like the University of New Orleans. That's why scheduling on from the basketball perspective has always been difficult.
Yeah, it has been, man. And you know what? Coach Sless has been awesome, man. We've been working really closely together this whole offseason to work on next year's schedule. He has so many contacts. And, you know, I'm right there with them hand in hand. We talk multiple times per day just on what do you think about this? How can you do this? We want to accomplish a couple of things. We want to balance wins with Division I home games, with games that are attractive for our fans. So that's not going to include any Power 5 teams because, you know, just the way college basketball is, they rarely, if ever, visit mid-majors. We understand that. That won't stop us from working toward that in the future. But we will have some Division I games against like peers this year in Lakefront Arena, and we're really excited about that. And I can't wait to a few more of them are finalized and we can release that schedule here early summer.
I'm a big fan of the Southland Conference. I think it was a natural fit. I lobbied for that hard when I got back to the university as a senior administrator previously, and fortunately it came to pass. It makes all the sense in the world from a rivalry perspective and from a budgetary perspective, and I know it's worked out well for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It is. It is a conference with like peers, as you mentioned. There are four other programs in our state. There are seven in Texas and one in Arkansas. So it's we have a tight regional configuration. Right now there are many conferences that are trying to figure out, you know, are they in the right place because the geography doesn't make sense. But the Southland Conference's geography does make sense. Everything is a short bus ride away. Abilene is a little bit far. But other than that, everything is, you know, 6-7, you know, 8 hours max, which is not, you know, unreasonable for us to participate in. So we're excited about, you know, being members of the Southland Conference. We've met, you know, multiple times a week with, you know, the ADs and the commissioner and trying to figure this thing out together with this COVID-19 pandemic and what we can do budget-wise to help become more efficient as a conference and then more efficient as, you know, individual institutions. So we're in a good home. There are great people there who are based out of Dallas. So, yeah, we're excited to be, you know, proud members of the Southland Conference.
Just a couple of minutes left with Tim Duncan of the University of New Orleans. Tim always requires administrative support to be able to have a chance to be successful in athletics. Talk about the, you know, the working relationship you have with administration on campus and how you perceive that, and do you feel like you have the support necessary to take this to another level?
Yeah, I think we absolutely do, man. First, starting at the top, Dr. Nick Lowe, as you know, he's a former student athlete. He played football in college. So as far as when I talked to him about bringing our spring seniors back, he would say, Tim, that's the right thing to do. And he gets it on a different level than other presidents because he's had a chance to put a uniform on, run up and down the field, go to study hall, ride buses. He understands how precious of time that is for student athletes. So we were the first program in Louisiana to bring our seniors back, our spring seniors, and that's directly because he has been there and understand that. And his wife, Dr. Stacy, she was a former student athlete in college as well. She played volleyball. So they, as a couple, understand you know, the plight of our student athlete and embrace and appreciate that. And then the other leadership from Dr. Amuzagar, who's our provost, to our new CFO, Dr. Gloria Walker, to Matt Tarr and Adam Nars, who are all on the executive cabinet. We report to Dr. Niccolo directly. They're all super supportive of athletics and understand this place. They come to games. They buy season tickets. So it's really great to see them, you know, being so supportive of student athletes. And we, in turn, are a valued part of the institution. I understand that we have to be a great partner to the institution as well. So I think there's a great yin and yang between the leadership of the university and athletics, for sure.
Well, great having UNO games on our airspace, and I know Pat Galloway is very happy for that, and we hope to do a lot more of that in the future, too, and some good people. Kevin does a great job, of course. Jude and our own guy, and Jude Young and Emmanuel Pepis are good people. So got some hardworking folks in place. I know that's only going to get better, and so is athletics at the University of New Orleans. Tim Duncan, thank you so much for the time, and anything we can do to help anytime, we're here for you, and let's hope we get back to some sense of normalcy here in the very near future.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate the time, man. Thank you for having me on. Please stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay in the house, not just you, but all of Privateer Nation. We appreciate all of you and want to see you back.